for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, April the 23rd, 2011. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Assyrians, the Rod of God's Wrath.
Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for your word that you exalted over your name. So, Father, we just pray that your word will go forth today like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. Father, you said if I commit my way to you, you'll establish my thoughts. I pray my words will be like well-driven nails given by you, Lord, the shepherd. Father, let my words be like apples of gold and settings of silver to listening ears. And, Lord, we just ask you to cover this place with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to loose holy angels into this place. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, any of the teachers at this camp, any of the messages against this camp in the name of Jesus. We declare you're bound on earth, declaring you're bound in heaven, and we command you to loose us on earth, declaring you're loosed in, they're loosed in heaven, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if you don't anoint this word, it's just a bunch of words. So Father, I just confess that I don't know what I'm doing, but you do, in Jesus' name. I don't have full understanding of this message, but I felt at my Bible study in Tyler last month that I was to teach on the Assyrians. And, you know, Assyrians in the Bible is a type of the enemy, just like the Moabites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and all the Ites, the Moabites. And basically, it's just a type of the enemy in the Word of God. And I've sensed for a long time, if you'll do the overhead, I'm going to say this first. So many of you are saying, I'm being attacked. Get in God's refuge, because that is the place of safety. If you're getting attacked, there's something God's trying to show you. Find out what it is, and then get back in that safe place. I just want to show the overhead on His refuge. Just it's under PowerPoint, and then His refuge. I think sometimes if you just see a visual illustration, it helps you understand what I'm saying. Finally, the Lord is teaching me that I deal with God 99% of the time and 1% with the devil. I may bind him one time a day. But if I feel attacked or if I feel like something is stirring up in me, I say, okay, Lord, what is the lesson here? It's called His refuge. And so Psalms 91 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God abides under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. And so if you're being attacked, the first one, I think that's the right one, I can't tell. No. Yeah, go down to the umbrella. Yeah. You see, Psalms 91 is a picture of being in God's dwelling place, the secret place. And there you're safe. There's no attacks there. The scripture says, I believe in Habakkuk, that when we're in God's refuge, that it's like the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. You know, the word Noah means rest. And Noah was safe in God on the waters of the flood. And so that's going to be our safe place. The disciples asked Jesus, He said, Lord, tell us when will be the sign of your coming. He said, it will be just like the days of Noah. Well, we know that there was a flood, and we know that God promised that He would never destroy the earth again through water flood. But the flood now is a spiritual flood coming over the airways. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Revelation 12 says the serpent poured forth water from his mouth like a flood against the woman, the church. Today, the church listens to, believes, embraces everything they hear on the news. And let me tell you, if it's a local news and somebody got raped, you can probably believe it. But if it's world news, can I tell you that it is manipulated and organized and reported by the people who own the stations, which is the people that own the stations are people that are in the Illuminati, and they're one world government, proponents of the one world government, and of course we know Satan's behind it. The Illuminati is the highest satanic organization in the world. People that are in the Council on Foreign Relations, that is the front organization in the United States for the Illuminati. And there are ministers that are in that. There's senators and congressional people. And you say, well, why do they have the... The other day when I went to the beauty shop, this lady said, well, you know, she was telling me what was happening on Fox News. And I used to watch Fox News. And I used to think, well, you know, it's the only station with the truth. But what the Lord has shown me recently is they have to have a conservative station to gain the confidence of the conservatives. They have to have a liberal station to gain the confidence of the liberals. And that's why this seems like they're fighting. You know, Satan is the author of confusion. Where there's contention and strife, there's every evil work. I don't even watch it anymore. I don't believe a word. I'll see through what they're doing. It's just a manipulation. But when you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God and abiding under His shadow and protection, that is a safe place. That's called the highway of holiness. The Bible says the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. On the highway of holiness, Isaiah 35, no lion, no fool, no unclean can walk that highway. So in Job 28 says, no demon in hell knows the way of wisdom. So if we're walking the way of wisdom, the enemy cannot see us. And so it makes me sad that some of the people that this morning were saying they're under attack are not in here. I wanted them to see that you can only do the next one. You can only be attacked and be defeated out there. Now, if you'll go inside again, back it up. When you're there, the Bible says you're going to be attacked, you're going to be tempted, but the scripture says the scepter of wickedness will not rest upon the land of the righteous. And so the righteousness of the blameless, the Bible says the Lord will smooth his way. So outside of God's refuge, the fiery darts fly. And when you're in God's refuge, it's a place of safety. It's a place of submission to his lordship. Outside again, Don. When you get outside there, that's where the arrow flies by day. That's where the noise of pestilence stalks. And it's only when you get back under God's authority that you have on His armor. He is the armor of God. And so, if you're being attacked, you need to find out why you're being attacked. The more I grow in the Lord, the more I am in deliverance, the more I'm seeing. I have people call me from all over and saying, I'm being attacked here, here, here. They don't like me telling them, hey, it's because you got sin in your life, you're being attacked. They don't like to hear that. And most of them have got so many problems that you don't even know how to get a grip on anything to pray for them. So what I tell them, you need to have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that if you seek Him with your whole heart, then you'll find Him. But most people are wanting, not sure nobody in this room, want you to work out their salvation for them. You cannot do that. You have to work out your own salvation. And on this land, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says you're a building, you're a house, you're a field, your land. Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 says you're soil. And you were made from dirt. And so, now why did I say that, Lord? Lord, bring that back if that's important. But you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Every place you've got sin in your life, you've got a hole in the hedge. My friend, the late Milton Green, would say, hedge down, sick 'em. You see, when I'm indwelling, see, you can say hedge down, sick 'em, because that guy's out there in rebellion. Go back, Don. Back over here, the hedge is up. Wherever I have a sin in my life, there's a hole in the hedge. And because we were born with holes in our hedges, and thank God he don't let the enemy attack all the holes at once, we couldn't take it. But the sanctification process is that he shows you, he allows the attack to show you a sin, you deal with it, and then that hole is closed up. And then he lets you rest a little while, and there'll be another what you think attack, and you find out why it is, and then you get the hedge up again. And that's the sanctification process. That's what the Bible says. Everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. So the purpose of the trial is to conform you into the image of Christ. Most people don't let it conform them. They get bitter, they get angry, they turn to other things, or they'll go from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to find the deliverance minister that has enough power to cast it out. And my friend, I was listening to some of Milt's tapes, and this man God used so much in my life. I was listening to some tapes the other day, or coming down here. He said, you can get me to pray for you, and you can even turn a cartwheel, but without repentance, you won't get free. He said, you can shake, rattle, and roll, but you're not going to get free until you repent of your sin. And so there's so many things in our life that we have to deal with. Parents set a foundation. You know, what we have to overcome is what we didn't overcome as a children. And so that's where, wherever I've let the sun go down my anger, I've got an automatic issue. And like I said, thank God he didn't show us everything at once, because we couldn't take it. So don't even worry about the devil. I don't even give him the time of day. I'm serious. I don't even talk about the devil and demons. Get your heart right with God, and nobody even has to pray for you. The demons will start coming off. And but this message is the Assyrians, the rod of God's wrath. And this is not, this, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, this is the worst time to teach this message, because it's the sluggish time of the day. But if you'll stay with me, then God and his word will do a work, and you'll get great deliverance. The purpose of this message is to get the Assyrians out of us, because generationally, we've got, all of us have probably got a little of Assyrian in us, and a few Moabites, and a few Ammonites, and a few Canaanites, and that's what's the enemy that's on our land, right? So we possess the land, which is sanctification, which is learning to overcome the enemies that are in our land. And I've learned to not let them pile up. When it comes up, deal with it. Don't let the sun go down on it. Don't allow anger in your life. Don't allow unforgiveness in your life. Don't allow fear in your life. When you're fearful, hey, all of that is rooted in idolatry, depression. In fact, every sin, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. It's all idolatry. So the purpose is to get the Assyrians out of us, to get some holes in our hedge closed up, so that we can have victory, and to really for God to remove the fear that we've had in our life of the one world order. And for a long time, I have sensed in my spirit, nobody's told me this, but I've just had a knowing that the Assyrians and the one world government people were the same. Because the Assyrians were cruel, they were merciless, they impaled people, they hung people upside down, they cut off hands, they cut off heads, they were ruthless. They were savage. And this is why Noah did not want to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. He didn't want to go preach to them because they were so evil. I was on the porch one day, and the Lord showed me there were some people I didn't want to pray for, and that I had a Jonah spirit. And I was mainly thinking of people that are behind the one world order. And you know what? God said, these people think they're in control. God's in control of this universe. And the Bible says he's appointed the wicked to judge. And he says them. I love this scripture. If my ways please the Lord, it makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. My old grandmother used to say this to me when I first got saved. I read the book of Job and I said, oh, grandmother, I don't think I could go through what Job went through. She said, honey, God will never put more on you than you can take. And I think that's a word for today. I really do. I think about what she said. And that's probably one of the few things I remembered her saying, but God let me remember that. And so I've known in my spirit that the Assyrians, which represents the enemy, and there's other words in the Bible that represent your enemy, and of course behind them is Satan, that they were the same people that were of the One World Order. And when I begin to Google, I Googled Assyrians One World Order. And you know what came up? That the Assyrians, that NATO, the Assyrians, and the Bilderbergers, who are proponents of one world government, all have the same symbol on their flag. And so I found out that, you know, the Bilderbergers, their purpose is to bring about the new one world order. And it's a group of powerful men that meet once a year, or at least once a year, where they're planning a one world government. And of course, there's other organizations, other groups, whose same purpose is to establish a one world order. And of course, we know that Satan's behind that. Through Myron Cohen's CD that I got here at Lake Hamilton, I discovered that the United Nations will be the headquarters for the one world order. And instead of the media, I've just seen, and you've noticed, how the United Nations has taken more and more liberties of taking their. In fact, President Bush was wanting to give the authority of the oceans and all the minerals and everything to the One World Order, and that's when I started thinking, why not vote for this man? But either if you're Republican or Democrat, can I tell you, you're not going to get in unless you're a part of they're the ones that pick the president. We just think we do. Yeah. And then the news media spins whoever they want. They promote, make the other look bad, so they can put in the one they want. And instead of the media coming against them, they'll report it this way. They'll say, well, the United Nations did this, and the United Nations did that, and it's what you call conditioning. They're conditioning us. Why don't they stop it? It's because they're promoting it. And we're just people that just buy everything that they say on the news media. Assyria was a kingdom between the Tigris and Euphrates River that dominated the ancient world from the 9th century to the 7th century. Assyria is a part of Babylon. The capital was Iraq. Like Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States. Then Iraq was the capital of Assyria. In Babylonia, Iraq, Jeremiah identified the Chaldeans with the Babylonians. The Chaldeans were one of the ancient peoples that formed the dominant population. Now, I want you to go to Acts chapter 13, because in Acts 13, God is warning us that there's something in the prophets that's going to come upon us. But let's first go to Acts 13. And you know what? The word is going to do its work. Not me, because when I was trying to study this a little bit, I thought, Lord, you're going to have to bring some sense into this. In verse 38 of chapter 13, it says, therefore, and it's talking to brethren. It says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that's the church, right? That through him, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Take heed, therefore, brethren, that the things spoken of in the prophets, that's Joshua through Malachi, may not come upon you. It says, therefore, somebody want to read that next verse for me? behold, you scoffers, marvel and perish, for I'm accomplishing a work in your days, a work you would not believe, though someone should describe it to you. Okay, now go to Habakkuk 1, and you see it other places in the prophets, but he's warning us in Acts that to take care, brethren. There's something in the prophets that could come upon us. Now to Habakkuk chapter 1. Chapter 1. Now this has never before happened in history. It's talking about a supernatural army as compared to the Chaldeans, which is just a type of the enemy. It's a type of the powers of darkness. It says, how long, O Lord? Habakkuk gets this vision, and he says, how long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? I cry out to thee, violence, yet thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity, and cause me to look on wickedness? It was all around him. Yet destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. And James says that where there's contention and strife, there's every evil work. And justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous, and we know that's happening right now. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Look among the nations, observe. Now, we just read this in Acts. Be astonished, wonder, because I'm doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. Now it says in Jeremiah, if you're falling down in the land of peace and you can't run with the footmen, what are you going to do in the thicket of the Jordan? You won't be able to run with the horses if you can't run with the footmen. Does it say that in Jeremiah? It says, they fly like an eagle, swooping down to devour. And I want you to put 1 Peter 5:8 there where it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. And so the enemy comes to devour you. And notice in 1 Peter it says, be sober. So you see why about 90% of the charismatic churches today are drunk. They call it drunk in the spirit, which is really a judgment instead of a blessing. So God says, be sober for the purpose of prayer. If I'm drunk, then my defenses are down. If you've ever observed a drunk, are they too alert to fight an enemy that would jump on them? Of course not. They can't fight, is what I'm saying. They couldn't. It says, all of them come for violence. Their horde of faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble. And of course, these are false fortresses, things that we trust in, idolatry, idols that we trust in that we think is our safe fortress. It says, then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. It says in Jeremiah, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. In verse 12, it says, now Habakkuk asked God a question. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Thou, O Lord, now this is why, thou, O Lord, has appointed them to judge. In other words, God has appointed the powers of darkness to judge sin. When you get out from under God's refuge, the powers of darkness judge your sin, and they can move in on it. It says, it's called legal right, it's called doorways, or just a few things. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Thou, O Lord, has appointed them, that's the powers of darkness, that's the Chaldeans, that's the Assyrians, that's a type of our enemy. God has appointed them to judge. They see sin, they can move in on it. It's called a legal right. And thou, O rock, Jesus, has established them to correct. Why, Lord? Because thine eyes are too pure to approve evil, and thou cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why dost thou look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why art thou silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why hast thou made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their nets. Now the Assyrians, because of Israel's sin, God turned the heart of the king of the Assyrians to take Israel captive. And then in Ezra, after Israel was repenting, God turned the king of Assyria's heart back to favor the Israelites. That's why we need to have this scripture written on our heart. If God is for you, who can be against you? But if you're trying to say God is for me, living outside of God's refuge, hey, you're just turned over. You see, you're putting yourself out there. God's not moving. He stands with His refuge to protect you. You step out of His refuge and you're stepping right into the enemy's camp. And it's heads down, sick 'em. Now, if you grew up with a parent that you never could do anything right, they were constantly telling you how bad you were, God is not like that. God says that He's the potter and you're the clay. The clay does one thing. You take your junky mess and put it on the potter's wheel, which is a picture of rest. Abiding in Christ means that I am giving up control of my life. I'm choosing His way over my way, His attitudes over my attitudes, His thoughts over my thoughts. Does that mean that I am perfect? No. But in God's eyes, that's how I'm perfect, is He's perfect. I'm holy as He's holy, because He looks at my heart. And in the Old Testament, God wouldn't take a sacrifice that was defective. Well, I've got a problem. I'm defective, and so are you. God doesn't look at your... You know, used to, when I would do a message like this, I'd look at people and I'd think, in fact, some of you may do this. There's no hope for me. I'm going to be killed. But God doesn't look at your junky clay and say, you're just too bad, and throws you away. See, when you yield to the potter, your part is to yield. The potter's part is to make you holy and righteous. When you yield to the potter on his altar, then the precious blood that's spilled out is the precious holy blood of Jesus. It's without defect. And that's what God sees. But if you're outside of the potter's wheel, which is outside of Psalms 91, you're outside of there, you're in rebellion, and it's not safe out there. And so the clay does one thing, and that's yield to the potter, which means obey. It means line up with the Word. You know what? If you want a huge deliverance, just repent over every scripture you read and demons will start moving off. You don't even have to say go. I do this all the time. I'm looking up one now on forgetfulness, because I don't want to be senile at my age. So I've just been repenting, especially after a few times ago when I taught a message up here. I came away and I could not tell you what I taught. And that scared me. I didn't run to the doctor. I ran to the Word of God to find out why. And I had prayed for a girl that had been in a voodoo trance for a year. And I laid hands on her too suddenly. And then another friend of mine was here. And I just had such a soul tie with this close friend for a long time. And it was like she had a memory problem. And then when I was asking the Lord to show me, my son had said to me, and he meant it as a compliment, and I took it as a compliment, and I was proud about it, which was a sin. He said, Mom, your mind's like a steel trap. And I thought, oh, yeah, you know. that got to thinking, hey, that's not a blessing, that's a curse. They're still trapped, don't do nothing. So I broke that. And I repented of the pride of being prideful that my mind was like a steel trap. And it's not in Jesus' name. I've got the mind of Christ. So Lord, give us the mind of Christ. And so Habakkuk answers his own question. Why are you allowing the wicked to swallow up those more righteous than they? You say, well, you know, that's in the Old Testament. No, it's also in the New Testament. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Drink down, swallow up. So, he's saying, God, the reason you don't allow that is because your eyes are too pure to approve evil. So it's telling us, when you read the prophets, you read the powers, the types and shadows of the powers of darkness, the enemy that comes against us because of sin. And the Assyrians, God engineered that whole thing for the children of Israel to be taken captive because of their idolatry and because of their sin. Now, Assyria is part of Babylon. Like I said, the capital was Iraq. And they were the same as the Chaldeans. The Syrian capital was Nineveh, which was in Iraq. So the Assyrians are from what is modern day Iraq. They were a warlike people. And so when Israel was carried into Babylonian captivity by the Assyrians, they were forced to adopt some of the religious practices of the Assyrians. And so if you'll go to 2 Kings chapter 16, you see this happening today, 2 Kings chapter 16. I've got a lot of scripture, and so I'm going to tell you some to write down because we couldn't possibly cover all of it in the time we have. 2 Kings 16. So after the Assyrians took over, captured Israel and took them into Babylon, the king of Assyria noticed that these people didn't know the laws of the gods of the land. So basically, in chapter 16, the king of Assyria sent in a prophet to teach them the laws of God. And in Second Kings 16. Yes, I did mark it. Okay, look in verse 28 of 16. Of 17, I'm sorry, that's why I couldn't find it. So one of the priests whom they carried away into exile from Samaria came and lived at Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now, the king wanted them to teach him how to worship the gods of that land. But this prophet taught them to fear the Lord. It says, but every nation still made gods of its own and put them in the houses of the high places, which the people of Samaria had made every nation in their cities in which they lived. So they said they feared the Lord, but they kept worshiping their false gods. And that's where I see the church today. I see these false prophets that are Knights of Malta, that are into Kabbalah. They're into interacting with the host of heaven, all kinds of stuff. They claim Christ on the one hand, but they sold their soul to the devil on the other hand. I see it happening today. Keep reading. And the men of Babylon made Succoth Benoth, the men of Kath made Nergal. The men of Hamath made Ashima. And the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak. And the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sepharim. These are the sins of Israel. These are what the Israelites did. They also feared the Lord and appointed from among them priests of the high places who acted for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord, which they didn't really, and served their own gods according to the customs of the nations from among whom they had been carried away into exile. To this day, they do according to the earlier customs. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances of the law, are the commandments which the Lord commanded the sons of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord made a covenant and commanded them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. Now we see in the church today, they never mention hardly, if you find a church that talks about sin, you better stay there. But they don't talk about sin, there's no holiness, there's no righteousness. And the idols of the church today is not taught to deal with your idols. You say, well, you know, I don't bow down to Nibhaz, and I don't bow down to these false gods. I don't bow down to Tartak. But you know, in a sense we do, because every place you let the sun go down on your anger, as a child or even now, if you don't deal with it before the throne of grace, you have just turned to a false god. Well, I'll just never have anything to do with Velma again because I'll just ignore her next time I see her. Instead of saying, Lord, I forget and I don't have anything against Velma, my buddy. But I'm saying, but if Velma hurts me and I don't say, Lord, I forgive Velma, would you please tell me what you're trying to show me through this? And usually I judge my mother and father for it, or I did it. It's been my experience. If I don't deal with that by sundown at the throne of grace, if I just think, I'm just gonna ignore her from now on, I just turn to a false god. The false gods, if you grow up and you're not loved, I'm gonna find somebody that loves me. If you grow up and nobody talks to you, when I grow up, life's gonna be different. And so in all of those determinations, all those vows I made, I'm turning to false gods. Can I tell you, God does not, it says in the Word of God that if you practice anger, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you can't allow those things in your life. When anger crops up, find out why, get to the root of the idol, lay it down. Same with depression, same with fear. Deal with it. Don't allow that stuff in your life because you let the sun go down on it and you don't deal with it, you've turned to a false god. And the church is full of false gods, not dealing with false gods. And you know what? It's going to take the Assyrians to wake us up, which is a type of the one world order or the enemy in our land. God says, you'll have no other gods besides me. The religion of the Assyrians was much like that of the Babylonians. It emphasized nature worship, which if you've got Indian ancestry in you, there's nature worship right there. They believed every object of nature was possessed by a spirit. We see that even in Indian ancestry and different religions. The chief god was Asher, which was another word for the devil. All other primary gods which they worshipped were related to the objects of nature. That include Anu, the god of the heavens, Baal, the god of the region inhabited by man, beasts, and birds, E, god of the waters, Sin, the moon god, Shamash, the sun god, and Raman, the god of the storms. And these gods were followed by five gods of the planets. In addition, there were primary gods, lesser gods, and in some cases, various cities had their own patron gods. And, of course, the Bible condemns that. Isaiah 10:5, Ezekiel 16:38, Hosea 8:9. The favorite pursuits of the Assyrians was war and hunting. They were merciless, savage, known for their ruthlessness, their cruelty, burning cities, burning children, and piling victims on stakes, beheading, and chopping off hands. And can I tell you that the proponents of the one world order, that's their plan. But I got news for them. God's in charge. And the good news of this message is that God destroys them. Hallelujah. But it's after we learn whatever lesson he's trying to teach us. You know what? The church, there's many people in the church thinking that they're heaven bound when they're going to bust hell right open because their life has not changed. They just joined a church or got a bath instead of getting really baptized. And the days of just going to church is not going to get it. We better obey the Lord. That will be our only protection in these days. And so I hope this message gets the Assyrian out of us, because that would be a legal right to be attacked. And so that we can have our lives right and stay in God's refuge. So Assyria became God's channel of punishment and judgment against Israel for their idolatry and for their sin. They were so ruthless and evil that Jonah didn't want to preach to them at Nineveh. And you know that story. Asher was the god they worshipped, which was a god of war, conquest, and military strength. Now, why is Assyria so important to the power elite right now? It's no secret that the power elite in this world consists of the European royals and the American oligarch, which is a member of a small governing faction, and the Vatican, whose role in world politics is clearly emerging as they decide the destiny of humanity, they think. And, of course, the One World Order, if a person like many of the prophets, like Rick Joyner, and he's just one of the Knights of Malta, and, of course, it's affiliated with a Masonic thing, and their allegiance is to the Pope. Study the Knights of Malta. Pull that out. Google the Knights of Malta. If you have a favorite prophet, Google, because most of them that are popular are tied in somehow with the Knights of Malta or with a Kabbalah or something occultic, especially if they're too popular. You know, I've said this before. David Wilkerson is probably the only prominent of any notoriety person that I think is a real prophet of God. But he's invited to very few churches here in America. Now, that ought to tell you the condition of the church in America. And Andrew Strong says, if the first word out of a prophet's mouth is not to repent of your sin, then he discounts everything they say. Because that's what the prophets do in the Word of God. Jeremiah 23, God said, I didn't send these prophets, but they ran. Many of them tag it onto their name. Apostle, prophet, and they just tag themselves as that. God says, if they would speak my words, my people would repent of their sin. Assyria is so powerful and so important. Here's some facts about Assyria, which is Iraq. There is no place on earth, now this is physical Assyria. There's no place on earth richer in oil than Assyria or Iraq. There's no place on earth richer in natural resources than Assyria. Precious minerals from copper, nickel, gold, silver, not to mention diamonds. There's no place on earth richer in history, ancient artifacts, and excavation sites than Assyria. So you see now why the Iraqi war, and you see how they're taking over, how it's almost like they're dethroning some of the leaders, like the guy Mubarak. You know, this is the international sign of the Illuminati, but it's also the hook 'em horn sign. And so after on my homepage, I don't watch the news. I don't ever turn the TV on except to watch my somebody that might be one of my family members play football. And on the homepage, after they, was it Mubarak for Egypt? They just got rid of him. They were like this. This was the picture on Fox News. And then they did the next one was Libya. You'd see these pictures. See, they're saying, hey, look, we want a victory over here. And what they're doing is slowly overthrowing all of them. And then they'll print out in the news how bad they are and what they're doing and all this stuff to get us brainwashed. And so if I'm saying something you don't agree with, just put it on the shelf, okay? Don't receive it till God confirms it. And so by owning our artifacts, our oil, our natural resources, if they can do that, they can control the world. They can control the economy, which is what they're doing right now. I'm told, and I don't know if it's true, by the end of 2012, the dollar will be worth nothing. Now, if our hope is in things of this world, we'll be disappointed. But our hope is on Jesus Christ the Rock. And so if they can control all of these things, they can control the oil. You see the price of oil going up, inflation. And if they can control the Assyria, it gives the Paralita permanent gateway into the Middle East, enabling them to divide and rule as they please, installing permanent power elite military bases, enabling them to control the flow of resources and military weapons. My secretary, they were stationed in Germany, and her husband is a retired military. And recently she went to Germany, and it was one world this, one world that. And she said when she used to the military base, she had to go there to help somebody because she could get into the military base, and there was a widow lady that she's trying to help, so she flew to Germany to help the lady. And she said instead of the United States military being at that base, now the United Nations flag is flying over American base. And the book of Nehemiah, the whole book, is the restoring of the city that was torn down through this captivity. And, of course, all of us are products of, in other words, having our foundations torn down because of the sins of the forefathers. Go to Isaiah 61, please. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion in the church, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations." And you see, in the whole book of Nehemiah was a physical picture of rebuilding the city. And of course, as believers in the New Testament, Jesus said, he was the light of the world, but he said, you believers, you disciples are the light of the world, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. And so there, Jesus called the disciples a city on a hill. And so, because of the sins of the forefathers in the spirit realm, our physical spiritual walls have been torn down. Sanctification is when we begin to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, which is the spiritual. I rebuild our spirit man through taking accountability for the sins of the forefathers, through deliverance, through repentance. Every time you repent, something else gets restored to your spiritual wall. You're more protected. And in these last days, it says in Revelation, and I'm going to read this, and I think what it means is if we keep the word of his... Go to Revelation chapter 3, please. Chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing that is... that hour which is about to come upon the whole world." You see, you don't want to wait when you're in the middle of the thicket of the Jordan to say, "Hey, wait a minute, I got to build my wall." The Lord showed me something about healing the other day. Is that sanctification is a process that takes a whole lifetime. Many people get sick, and because it takes a lifetime to sanctify their life, it's too late. If they didn't sanctify their life over the years, here all of a sudden I've been given a death sentence. And I'm not saying that it's ever too late for God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying for most people, they don't get healed because they're not dealing with stuff. I'm so excited to see Velma being healed. When she was given a death sentence, she got in the Word and started repenting over it. And she was repentant. She was prayed up and confessed up. I've known this godly woman for years. You can say, "I've already confessed everything." No, you haven't. Get in this word and you'll see plenty you haven't confessed. I'm serious. And she began to repent over the word. The pain was so bad, it took her breath. She couldn't breathe without pain medicine. And she kept telling me she was healed, and me of little faith, I didn't really believe her. But when she told me she ran out of her pain medicine, and she said, "You know, I don't think I need this anymore." I knew she was healed. Because the Bible says, remove vexation from your heart, which is grief, yes, anger, wrath, idolatry, hurt, provocation, and you can put pain out of your body. And so, but she went to the Word of God, because the Bible says He sent His Word to heal you. You see, God's got things to teach us. And He can do it like that, and sometimes He does. My mom got cancer, and I was staying in the room with her. This was in 1978, and she said, "Jerry, I don't think if I died today, I'd go to heaven." I led her to the Lord, and she lived until the year 2000. But you see, there was a great repentance. My mother was a good woman. I could always count on her to do the right thing. She might not have known the Word. She might not have read the Word until her later years. But I never knew my mother and daddy to not always do what they thought was right. I heard the brother say last night, "Just do what's right." And so I guess that was a lifestyle of doing what she did, but she never had another trace of cancer until, in fact, she did not die with cancer. She died the first day of the year 2000 from 1978. But you see, there was a drastic repentance in her life of her coming and becoming born again. And so so the book of Nehemiah is a physical picture of how we have to raise up the former devastations of many generations and rebuild our spiritual city so that there won't be no holes in the wall. You know what? If we have holes in our hedge, guess what? The enemy can attack us through those holes. So when I get attacked, I say, "Okay, Lord, there's a hole in my hedge. How come? What do you want me to do?" And then repent. And let it be a lifestyle. And when an 18-wheeler knocked in my door last Sunday, I didn't take that as a spiritual attack. You know what the Lord showed me? I was violating the law because I was driving on the shoulder. I was going to turn on the shoulder, which looked like the road to me. It looked like a turn lane. I was stopped there at the stop sign, and an 18-wheeler pulled up to turn, and I thought he was going to go straight, and he just turned, crushed in the side of my door, mashed it in, broke out all the glass, and just kept scraping my car. I didn't take that, "Oh, the devil's after me." No, God, you showed me my rebellion in violating the law. And thank God I wasn't on the freeway to get killed. And I didn't think when my air conditioner thing stopped up, I was being attacked. I'm saying, it's just, I didn't see it as an attack. Hey, God is bigger than the devil. He created him. He is just a nothing. Quit being afraid of the devil and fear God and turn away from evil. And if you're being attacked, you need to check out. If it's attack, 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 you may be trying to battle it all yourself. Get in God. I told this lady, this most precious lady this morning, crawl up in God's lap, and how dare the devil try to touch you. If you're holding a little baby, would you let anybody bother that baby? So we need to get in God's lap, and this brings me to something else. If you didn't have a loving, nurturing, protecting father, you have to deal with those issues before you can have the revelation of getting in His lap. Because those hurts and those judgments you make on your father puts a block between you and God. The lie is, God's like my mother and father. No, He's not. But see, God has a lake of blessing He wants to pour out. And we've got so many log jams because of the judgments we make on our mothers and fathers. God is a loving father. He wants to pick you up on His hip and throw you and lovingly bounce you up and down on His knees. Okay? Now, the sins of Israel. And so I want you to be repenting as we read these. I'm just going to give you the scripture reference. I'm going to read some of them, but I'm not going to read all of them because we'll be here till 10 o'clock tonight. But the sins of Israel, another word for Israel was Ephraim. If you read the whole book of Hosea, it's about Ephraim. And some of the characteristics of Ephraim, number one was, and Ephraim means double fruit. They produce fruit for the Lord, but they also produce fruit for the devil, which we read back in 2 Kings 16. They feared the Lord, but yet they worshiped their false gods. And so it says that Ephraim was a silly dove. Hosea 7:11. So Ephraim has become like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt, which is the type of the world. They go to Assyria for the answers. Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, when the bridegroom is talking to the bride, he says, "My darling, your eyes are like dove's eyes." A dove has no peripheral vision. He sees straight ahead. And so, Ephraim is a silly dove. He's cuckoo in the eyes. He's looking here and looking there. He's looking all around. The Bible says a fool's eyes are over all the ends of the earth, is what Proverbs says. And so Ephraim, the church, is a silly dove without sense. He doesn't have dove's eyes. Goes to the world for answers. They make a god out of the work of their hands. Hosea 14:3. Assyria will not save us. We will not. So here, so you see how Assyria here represents, it could be Obamacare. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again our God to the work of our hands, for in thee the orphan finds mercy. So they say Assyria will not save us. Okay, they feed on and follow the wind. Hosea 12:1. Ephraim feeds on the wind, and I could say the prince of the power of the air is coming across the TV, and the church is brainwashed by it. Little kids are demonized by it. If I had a little kid, I would not let him be near a TV or a video game or these demonic toys. They make a god out of the work of their hands. They feed on and follow the wind. Hosea 12:1. Ephraim feeds on the wind and follows after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried to Egypt. They have false healers, Hosea 5:13. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah, which means praise, saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrians and sent to King Jerob, yet he could not heal you nor cure you of your wound. There's people that I say, why don't you look for the spiritual reason to why you've got what you've got? And then I get an email to pray for them because they're going through all kinds of diagnostic tests. Let God diagnose you. Brother Frank was telling me what, and I've already forgotten, what diagnosis means. Ask him what diagnosis means. Lord, what did he tell me? No, I'm going to find out, and I'll find out. Okay, I'm always thinking my son will start telling a story, and he does the same thing, and I judged him. Oh, Lord, forgive me. So he'll say, I read this story, but yes, Lord. Thank God for a godly son. Because Jesus is not their king, the Assyrian is their king. You know, you're going to either make Jesus king or the devil's going to be your king. Hosea 11:5. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to return, refuse to repent. So you have a choice. Either repent, make Jesus your king, or the Assyrians will be your king, and you will be a prey for the one world order. They doted on the Assyrians and her lovers. Ezekiel 23:12. She doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Ezekiel 16 said she played the whore. You know, we're going to be the bride of Christ, and our heart goes after other lovers. We become a spiritual whore. And one of the judgments on spiritual whoredom and spiritual harlotry and adultery is a spirit of drunkenness. Look up all the words on drunken. I've written a little book called Drunkenness. Is this a blessing or a curse? And all the scriptures, there's not one scripture that says that drunkenness is anything but a judgment. And that's one of the judgments, is God mixes up a cup of the wine of His wrath and pours it out upon the harlot and makes her drunk. I sent a precious man a video. He had invited this lady into his church, and I have great respect for this man. He's a godly pastor. And I sent him a little YouTube clip of this woman standing up going, whoa, just standing up drunk, never said one thing that would bless or help anybody. And I sent him this little video, and I said, this woman is a demonic nutcase. And, of course, I got severely rebuked. But I emailed him scriptures. I said, you are the one that taught me to separate the holy from the profane. These people are not separating the holy from the profane. Jeremiah 15, God says, you will be my spokesman if you separate the holy from the profane. Because you sold out to the devil, you eat food sacrificed to demons. Ephraim will return to Egypt, and in Assyria they'll eat unclean food. They were like wild donkeys in heat, the higher lovers, Hosea 8:9. For they've gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey all alone. Ephraim has hired lovers. They rejected the fountain of living water, Jeremiah 2:18. But now, what are you doing on the road to Egypt? Why are you going back to the world? God delivered you from the world. To drink the waters of the Nile, or what are you doing on the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates? And then, Another thing that Israel did, they lusted after the idols of the Assyrians. After with all their idols, she defiled herself. Ezekiel 23:7, and she bestowed her harlotries on them, all of whom were the choicest men of Assyria, and with all whom she lusted. You see, it's the spirit of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, making the world your answer. Go into the world for answers. I'm saying you need to go to God for answers, because God is the answer man. And then God's judgment upon Israel was because of their sin and their idolatry, and that's in 2 Kings 17, 18, 19, and 20. God turns Israel over to the Assyrians in Ezekiel 23:9. Wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, upon whom she doted. And then Israel was judged. It says, be seized with shame and ashamed of their own counsel, Hosea 10:6. The thing itself will be carried to Assyria as a tribute to the king Jerob. Ephraim will be seized with shame. That's the double-minded church. And Israel will be ashamed of its own counsel. And then another judgment upon the church in Israel. How many of you know you're the Israel of God? We are the Israel of God. Read Romans 9, Galatians 3, Romans 2 says that you are the Israel of God. You are the spiritual Israel. And then it says you won't remain in the Lord's land, Hosea 9:3. They will not remain in the Lord's land. Isaiah 8:6 and verse 7 to the end. It says, because these people have rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoiced in Rezin, and the son of Ramallah rejoiced in wickedness. Now therefore, behold, the Lord is about to bring on them the strong and abundant waters of the Euphrates, even the king of Assyria and all his glory, and it will rise up over its channels and go over all its banks. You know, there's people that do warfare over cities. Can I tell you, you can't bind a demon over a city, because you need to get the people repented of their sin, and then you can bind the demon over there. Let me clarify. You can bind Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. But if you're going about and you're gathering a group of people and you're going to go downtown Dallas and do warfare over the city, people have to repent. Pray they come to repentance. One false prophet in Texas was taking some people over to England, over to the Stonehenge. Took a group of people, probably unrepentant people, over to Stonehenge to try to sanctify satanic altars. Hello. You can't sanctify something God's cursed. Besides that, he was opening them up to all kinds of demonic activity taking them over there. And then the church will be put to shame, Jeremiah 2:36. Why do you go around so much changing your way? Also, you shall be put to shame by Egypt and you were put to shame by Assyria. Now, God's judgment upon the Assyrians. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. And you know what? If you've got any sense, it isn't because you're so smart. It's because God gave you every good thing you have. If you've got a brain, if you've got a bed to sleep in at night, if you're not under the bridge, if you can learn anything or achieve anything, it's only by God's grace. Isaiah 14:24. It says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely just as I have intended, so it has happened, and just as I have planned, so it will stand. To break Assyria in my hand, in my land, and I will trample him on my mountains, then his yoke will be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulder. This is the plan devised against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out against all nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? And then Isaiah 31. You know, a friend of mine who's an intercessor said, sometimes I think we're praying against God because God is behind a lot of what's going on. He's allowing it. And I think he's allowing it to clean up the church because it's sad. I don't want to make a prophecy here or speak a curse, but it could be because God's trying to wake up the church. And it may take that because they're off. Many, many of them are off in la-la land, being spiritually drunk. If you don't know what that is, it's a person that acts like they're under the influence of alcohol and never have had a drop to drink. Isaiah 29, I'm just going to read this to you. Verse 9 says, they be delayed and wait, blind yourself and be blind. They became drunk, but not with wine. In other words, not from the liquor store wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. They haven't been to the liquor store. For the Lord has poured over them a spirit of deep sleep, or you say slumber, stupor. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. And the entire vision shall be to you like the words of a sealed book. When you give it to the one who's illiterate, he'll say, I can't read it. Give it to the one that's literate, he'll say, I can't read it. And he says, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they've removed their hearts far from me, and their reverence from me consists of traditions learned by rote. In other words, mechanical repetition. Okay, 31. And read all of 31. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. That's going to the world for answers. And rely on horses, that's flesh, and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disasters and does not retract his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of the workers of iniquity. Now the Egyptians, that's the world, are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. Jeremiah 17:5. So the Lord will stretch out his hand, and he who helps will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and all of them will come to an end together. For thus says the Lord to me, as the lion or the young lion growls over its prey, against which a band of shepherds is called out, will not be terrified at their voice, nor disturbed at their noise. So will the Lord of hosts come down to wage war on Mount Zion, and the church is also referred to as Zion. The mount could be the hill of the Lord, and on its hill, like flying birds, so the Lord of the host will protect Jerusalem. Glory to God. He will protect and deliver it. So we have to stay under Psalms 91. Is that right? Isaiah 35. Proverbs 16:7. I know the Lord is pleased with me when my enemy... I know if my ways please the Lord, it makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. Psalms 41:10. I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. So if the devil's beating me up, God's not pleased. Find out what he's not pleased about. He will pass over and rescue it. Return to him from whom you have deeply defected. For in that day every man will cast away his silver and his gold idols, which your hands have made as a gift. As a sin. And the Assyrians will fall by the sword, not of man, and a sword, not of a man, will devour him, so he will not escape the sword. And the young men will become forced laborers, and his rock will pass away because of panic. And his princes will be terrified at the standard. The standard is the word of God, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. You know, the Bible says in Malachi that God's going to come as a refiner's fire to purify the sons of Levi. And a lot of these meetings where you go through fire tunnels and you come out twitching, jerking, kicking, and falling over like a sprayed roach. Can I tell you, that's Baal. He was the fire god. You know, you've probably seen, I remember seeing a movie when I was a little kid or sometime, where they would go up the mountain and then they would drop their children into a hole into Molech's mouth, who was the fire god. And so I watched people holler, fire, 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 fire. And I watched people twitching and jerking. And they're getting swallowed up by the fire god, by Molech. And a lot of times it's hard to reach those people. But the fire of God, he is a refiner's fire. If it's true fire of God, you're going to come out cleansed and purified and repentant and squeaky clean when God gets through with you. And if you've been into that other stuff, I don't want nobody hollering fire on me. God's put me through enough to purify me without you sticking a demon of fire on me. They'll be terrified and beaten down. Assyria will be humbled and they'll lose control. Zechariah 10:11. And he will pass through the sea of distress and strike the waves in the sea so that all the depths of the Nile will dry up. And the pride of Assyria will be brought down. And the scepter of Egypt will depart. Be slain. They'll be slain by their own graves. I've gotten emails of pictures of graves that these people have. But I thought of this when I read that scripture. They're going to be slain by their own graves, their own caskets. I mean, I've been sent emails with just caskets everywhere where they plan to kill us. It says here that they're going to be, their graves are going to be all around about her. All of them are slain. And, of course, I really believe that these emails are being generated by the One World Order to put us in fear. And how... What made me think that is when I send out the little daily thoughts of encouragement, I always look for a little image, and I came across one that said the Illuminati, fear. And I thought, you know what? That's the only weapon that Satan has against you, is to make you afraid, to kick you out of your position in the heavenly places where you go, oh, they're fixing to do this. Oh, my goodness, they're going to do this. Oh, we're going to be killed. You see? Fear is the opposite of faith. And so that's how he can defeat us. If they can generate fear over the news media, and that's all it is fear, 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 fear. You know that Goliath is still speaking today through the news media? and don't even listen to it. I used to read those. I mean, I've got emails that for 2 hours I sat panic-stricken till I got in the presence of the Lord. And then He told me that He wins and that I win if I'm His child. And you know, no matter what's done to you, if the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, then wherever I am, wherever I'm put, I'm ordered by the Lord. But that gives me encouragement. I hope that encourages you. And do you know that you can't die till God's ready for you to die? You can't. You're indestructible. And the Bible says that God has delivered you from the fear of death that has subjected you to slavery your whole life. That's why people run to the world for answers, because they're afraid to die. The way I look at it, if God wants to take me out, then I don't have to deal with the Assyrians. That's kind of an escape hatch. No, I'm just joking. I want to be where God wants me to be when He wants me to be it. But it is a way to look at it. You know, whatever God wants, He's in charge. I'm finding out that my times are in His hands. Your times are in His hands. He even plans your schedule. When you ask Him to show you what to do, He's got it all planned. They're going to be punished, Isaiah 10:12. So it will be that when the Lord has completed all the work on Mount Zion, when he's done what He wants to do with the church and on Jerusalem, He will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the pomp of his haughtiness after He's done His work with Mount Zion. And that's you. And then God promises to those who patiently endure, do not fear. Isaiah 10:21-24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, O my people that dwell in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. Let's read Isaiah 10. Sounded like we got defeated there. Isaiah 10:21. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. The Bible says that those who endure to the end will be saved. Anyway, read all of chapter 10. And then Jerusalem will be saved, and that word Jerusalem was saved from the Assyrian oppression by divine intervention. 1 Kings 19:35. God struck the Assyrian army with a plague, and the Bible referred to it as the angel of the Lord. You know, when an army comes against you, God can strike him with a plague. Go to Micah chapter 5, verse 4. And he will arise and shepherd his flock. That's the remnant. God's going to take a remnant out of this big conglomeration that calls himself church. And she won't look like Fredericks of Hollywood. She's going to be a pure bride. In the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, and they will remain. Because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth, and the one will be our and this one will be our peace. When the Assyrian invades our land, when he tramples on our citadels, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men, and they will shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod at its entrances, and he will deliver us from the Assyrian when he attacks our land and when he tramples our territory. Then the redeemed of Jacob, that's the remnant, that's those that have kept the word of God's perseverance, those who've endured to the end, will be among many peoples like dew from the Lord, like showers on vegetation, which do not wait for man or delay for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, among many people, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, which if he passes through, tramples down and tears, and there is none to rescue. Your hand will be lifted up against your adversaries. You know, I was reading the book of, I was reading about Joseph the other day, and I'd read that before, but I just started crying. One place where Joseph is talking to his brothers, he said, "No, God did this so I could save you." In other words, this was for your provision in the days we're living in. And I started crying because I saw the compassion of when he saw his brother. I saw the compassion when he saw his dad. But I thought, you know what? God is raising up Joseph even now for his children to protect us from the one world order, to protect us from what's coming. "Fear not," God said. "Don't listen to the news media. Say, Goliath, turn it off. It's just Goliath again. Saying, I'm going to get you." And David came and he said, "I come in the name of the commander-in-chief of all the armies of heaven." And he cut off his head. And it's no different. But if the enemy can get you afraid of him, he's got you right where he wants you. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And then God will gather his remnant, Zechariah 10:10. "I will bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no room can be found for them." The Assyria will be destroyed, Zephaniah 2:13. "And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and he'll make Nineveh a desolation, parched like the wilderness." And then after repentance, God turns the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to encourage them, Ezra 6:22. "And they observed the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had caused them to rejoice and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to encourage them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel." Hallelujah. So you see, no matter what goes on in the world, just at a blink of an eye or quicker than that, God can change the heart of your enemy. Because if your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. You don't have to be afraid of terrorists. Recently, I went to New York, and my grandson and I passed out probably a little book I wrote, How You Can Know Where you Can Spend Eternity. And 99%, we must have passed out 100 books, and most of the people we passed them out to were Muslim taxi drivers and Muslims. I told this one taxi driver, I said, "You know what? The American media has really given y'all a bad rap." I said, "I've met so many nice Muslims." And this man ended up taking us to the airport, wasn't going to charge us a thing. He said, "My name is Abraham, and I would check with him." I said, "So you're the father of many nations?" You know, and he is, "Your wife, Sarah?" "No, I wish you was." Anyway, when we got to the airport, he hugged me. He said, Well, on the way, he said, "What do you do with a rebellious teenager?" I said, "You ask God for wisdom." Amen. We got to the airport. He hugged me. He said, "Don't you forget to pray for me. My name is Abraham." Another taxi driver started just talking to us. He said that 10 years ago, he said, "My wife left me." And of course, we had prayed. Our prayer group had prayed for these were divine appointments. We had prayed before we ever got to New York. He said, "My wife left me 10 years ago," and he said, "I haven't been able to get over it." He said, "I'm tormented day and night." I said, "You have to forgive." He said, "I don't know how to do that." And I shared with him. I said, "You know, I've had two husbands leave me." So I had a son die of AIDS, and I know the pain. I know how you feel. But I said, "You know what? Jesus has taken away all my pain, and he's used it all for good." You know what that man said? And I gave him the book, the little book, How You Can Know Where You'll Spend Eternity. He said, "Oh, thank you." He said, "Thank you for letting me pour out my troubles to you." You see, there's good people, Muslim, white, black, red, green. There's good people and there's evil people. And so you don't have to... They're putting all this Muslim stuff out to make you afraid. Don't be afraid. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment will be condemned. Bless the Lord. And then Revelation 3:10, "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance," means a remaining behind, a patient enduring, "also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell upon the earth." Let God deal with your stuff now. Don't allow anger. Don't allow depression. Don't allow fear. Don't allow jealousy. Don't show partiality. God says that we're all equal. He loves us all. And He wants us to fulfill His law through loving others. Love fulfills the whole law. And I've discovered that when somebody's raining on my parade, it's something that I've done, or I've judged it, or I've done the same thing. And that's why you're grieving about it. It's because your conscience is not clear. Okay, stand up and ask the Lord to show you. I know that was a hard message to listen to, but you know what? The Word is a fire and a hammer that burns rock. Ask the Lord to show you if you have a Syrian in you. If you've got any of that in you. If you've got any open doors for the enemy to attack you. Lord, in Jesus' name, search my heart. Test my thoughts. God, show me if there's anything in my life that would cause me to be attacked by the Syrians. Show me if there's any way my life is not pleasing you so that my enemy would be at peace with me. Search my heart, O God. Test my thoughts. I ask, Lord, for the truth that makes me free. And just repent of whatever the Lord shows you, and then sit down and then just live a lifestyle of repenting of your sin. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break all covenants with Egypt, Assyria, with all these false gods. Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the Chaldeans. Pray with me. The Assyrians, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for worshiping nature. And if you haven't done it, maybe your forefathers did. Lord, I renounce nature worship. I ask you to forgive me. I renounce that every object is possessed by spirit. I renounce Asher. I break all covenants to false gods. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I renounce Anu, Baal, Sin, Shemesh, Raman, all the gods of the planets. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I renounce all false gods. Forgive me for breaking your law, Lord. Forgive me for being cruel, burning cities. You know, we can burn down a city with our tongue. What does it say? The tongue's a fire, the very world of iniquity, and it sets on fire the very course of our life, and it sets a forest afire. Does it say that in James? Psalms 1 says you're a tree, doesn't it? You're like a tree planted along a riverbank. The trees of the field clap their hands. We know trees can clap their hands. But you're trees, and so we can burn a city down with our mouth. So forgive us, Lord, that our mouth has had burning torches come forth from our mouth. Forgive me for impaling victims on stakes, beheading, chopping off hands. I renounce all the gods of Babylon in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for being a silly dove without sense. Forgive me for being a fool that my eyes are on the ends of the earth. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. And I forgive my forefathers for worshiping false gods. I renounce Nibhaz, Tartak, Nergal. I renounce Hamath, Ashima, the Avites. I renounce Adrammelech, Anamelech, the gods of Sepharim. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I renounce saying I love you and then worshiping false gods. Forgive me for being a hypocrite. God, forgive me for being just like Ephraim, making double fruit, fruit for the Lord and fruit for the devil, being double-minded. Pray with me. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, forgive me for making a god out of the work of my hands. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger and promising that when I grow up, life's going to be different. Forgive me for turning to false gods instead of dealing with my sin at your throne of grace. Forgive me for feeding on the wind, feeding on TV, listening to the flood that comes across the airways. Forgive me for being afraid of what Goliath is saying through the news media. Father, forgive me for going to the world for healing, following after the wind, Forgive me for not making you my king, which would also automatically make Assyria my king and make Satan my king. Forgive me for doting on the Assyrians and being and her lovers. Forgive me for playing the harlot and praying the whore and committing spiritual adultery against you. Forgive me for making deals with the Assyrians. It says the harlot makes deals with the Assyrians for food, and I missed this one. That would be take the mark, because when the one world orbit takes over, they're going to say you can't buy or sell without the mark. And if you take it, you won't go to heaven. Forgive me for, Lord, you know what? If you fear man right now and you don't overcome fear of man, you won't stand in these last days. Because if somebody puts a gun upside your head, you'll bargain with them. Ask yourself, can you be bought off? Is there any amount of money that'll buy you off? Is there anything somebody would try to put on you that would cause you to come? You need to get yourself strengthened in the Lord now. Ask God to get all that stuff out of you so that you will have the faith and the courage to stand no matter what. Lord, forgive me for being a coward. Because you said to the cowardly and unbelieving that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Forgive me for fearing man more than I feared you, Lord. Forgive me for being a person that could be bought off. Forgive me for being a person that, if put under enough pressure, I would kowtow to what they said. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for rejecting the fountain of living waters. I hope y'all are repenting. Forgive me for lusting after the idols of Assyria. God, would you please remove the judgments on me in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to... I want to make a new covenant with you today. And I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve, of making false gods, making covenants to false gods. I nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, ritual that my forefathers spoke or that was spoken over them, giving them to Satan or to any false gods. And that includes all Masonic lodges, Knights of Malta. It includes Catholicism, worship of Baal, fire gods, fire meetings, in the name of Jesus. Drunkenness, I renounce it in the name of Jesus. Father, I just take the sword of the Spirit and I cut the spirit of drunkenness off of them. I bless them with sobriety. I break the power of shame over them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. I command the spirit of the Assyrians out of them now in Jesus' name. I break soul ties with my mother, father, forefathers, all these false gods I've made, all the people that I was involved in, my forefathers were involved with false gods. I break soul ties with them. I cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I come against all Assyrians. In Jesus' name, we break that curse of Assyrians off their life. In the name of Jesus, we come against all the spirits of the one world order. We come against Assyria. We come against Babylon. In the name of Jesus, we come against the Chaldeans in the name of Jesus. We come against nature worship, all lying spirits. We break curses of Asher in the name of Jesus. We break covenants to false gods. Lord, today we make a new covenant with you to be your holy bride in the name of Jesus. We command all spirits of E and Baal and Asher out. I command all spirits of worship of nature out. All spirits of E and Sin and Shamush and Raman out. In Jesus' name, we break your power. All the spirits of Nibhaz and Tartak out. All spirits of Adramelech and Amalek out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, all the gods of Sepharim come out in the name of Jesus. We break the power of fear, doubt, unbelief, fear of death. We come against fear of man. We come against all spirits of compromise and double-mindedness. We come against all spirits of bargaining with the enemy in the name of Jesus. We come against, in Jesus' name, all spirits of destruction, all spirits of death, all spirits of being a silly dove. Lord, I bless them with dove's eyes. Only have eyes with you for you. In the name of Jesus, all the demons that came in through the work of their hands, feeding on and following the wind, all demons of TV, of news media, out in Jesus' name. All false healers, come out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, we enthrone you as King. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. All spirits of whoredom and harlotry and spiritual adultery, fornication, sexual perversion, addictions has to go. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, all spirits of lust, being like a wild donkey in heat, out in Jesus' name. Rejecting the fountain of living waters, come out in the name of Jesus. Every lying spirit, every spirit of Antichrist, out in the name of Jesus. I just break the power of the demons that would cause us to be held captive by the Assyrians. And Father, I ask you to rebuild the ancient ruins. I ask you to raise up the former devastations of many generations. I ask you to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be an oak of righteousness. I command all shame and terror and fear, all spirits that beat them down, go. All spirits of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, all spirits of death, go. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, I break your power. I break your power. All spirits of Ephraim, double-mindedness, double fruit, come out in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All spirits of fear, doubt, and unbelief. All spirits of fainting, giving up, quitting, bailing out in the name of Jesus. You have to go in the name of Jesus. If you're a person that every time you go through a trial, you take a nosedive, you're having a happy day, but all of a sudden the trial comes and you just take a nosedive. That's a fainting spirit, and it comes in because you need to know the character of the true and living God. It comes in because you have a perverted daddy image based on the judgments you make on your earthly father. And if I were you, I would list all of the negatives of my earthly father, and I would start forgiving him one by one. And renounce the lie that God's just like your earthly father. God is nothing like your earthly father. And then run and jump in his lap, because that's a safe place. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, we bless this food not to make us fat. We bless it to energize us. We bless it to strengthen our bodies. We bless it to boost our metabolism. We bless it to burn calories. We bless it to boost our metabolism in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive it with thanksgiving. And thank you. Strengthen everyone in the kitchen, all the workers here, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all the people that work here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.